I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I want to thank all of our listeners who have been praying for my health. I thank you so much. I feel a lot better, getting my normal energy back. Praise God. This is going to be a great show. We've got Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries with us. Ralph, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you, Terry and Jesse.
Hey,
good to be with you again.
Oh, we all love having you with us, Ralph. And Jesse's out of town. He's out in Tyler, Texas with Bishop Strickland, doing a parish mission, so he'll be back on Monday. But Ralph, this is going to be a great show because we're going to talk about your latest book, A Church in Crisis. We'll get to that, but we always start off our shows talking about the gospel of the day, and I'd like to be so good to read. I'll read the gospel of Matthew, and then I'd like to ask you, Ralph, if you wouldn't mind just giving a commentary on that, and then obviously we go right into Fulton Sheen. And then after we go from Fulton Sheen, then we'll get right into your book. So everybody put your seatbelts on because you're going to be in for a joy. This show should inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. If it does that, I'm a happy camper, and I hope it will. So let's read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 27 to 31. And I'll do the reading, and then Ralph will ask Ralph Martin to give the commentary. As Jesus passed by, two blind men followed him, crying out, "Son of David, have pity on us." When he entered the house, the blind man approached him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can do this?" "Yes, Lord," they said to him. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Let it be done for you according to your faith." And their eyes were opened. Jesus warned them sternly, "See that no one knows about this." But they went out and spread the word of him throughout all the land, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Another miracle. Ralph, tell me, give me your thoughts on that, because it's a simple gospel, but aren't we all a little blind at certain points of our life?
We are. And you know, when you read gospels like this, I know you say, you know, there's people who you know who are sick. You maybe have an illness.
Yeah.
And you say, "Lord, I do believe that you can heal me, but why don't I get healed?" You know? And so that's like a question that really people have.
Yeah.
And I think the first reading gives a little hint about that. It says that all this isn't going to happen in its fullness until the last day, until the Lord comes again. At that point, the lowly will find joy in the Lord. The deaf shall hear, out of gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see, and the tyrant will be no more, and the arrogant will have gone, and all who are alert to do evil will be cut off. Those whose mere word condemns a man. So the final judgment is when everything comes to pass of all of Jesus's promises. And right now on earth, Jesus heals some people sometimes, but other people not at other times. And I got a real insight into this when I was really studying some of the things from Our Lady of Fatima.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the children's at Fatima would ask Mary, you know, "We're getting so many petitions from people. You know, they're asking, please pray for her son to get a job. Please pray for somebody to get healed. Please pray for this, that, and the other thing." Mm-hmm. And Mary's answers to Lucia were very interesting. She said, "This person will be healed in a year. This person will be healed after they are more deeply converted. This person won't be healed, but I will provide a way for them to make a living for their family." So very personal responses. Every single petition was heard by Mary. Every single petition was answered in the best way possible for that person. So we need to trust that when we ask the Lord for what we think is his will, that the answer is the best thing possible for us at that time. It may not be good for us to make $1 million or win the lottery, you know?
Sure.
It, it, It may not be the best thing for us to get healed right now. It may not be the best thing for our son or daughter to get that job or to get into that college. We need to trust that God's wisdom, God's providence is over everything. He hears every prayer, but he answers with his wisdom. And once we get to the other side, we're not going to have any argument with him about how he answered our prayers. We're going to thank him for not answering our prayers for what we were asking for or when we wanted it to happen. We're going to marvel at his wisdom. We're going to marvel at his love. We're going to marvel at his kindness. So the gospel is about trust in Jesus, faith that Jesus is capable of doing whatever. But also we need to add to that trust and faith that the timing is up to the Lord. The manner is up to the Lord, and he's perfectly good, and our prayers are heard, and they're answered according to what's best for us, according to God's wisdom.
Well said. Praise God. I always think of what Fulton Sheen would say. There's a song they sing in heaven, I did it his way. And he says, there's a song they sing in hell, I did it my way. And so what you said about doing God's will, yes, we should be doing that. And I want to also remind everybody, this is First Friday of the month.
Yeah.
And so what I encourage people to do, and it's just simple, ask yourself, you know, you're trying to get to confession at least once a month. Sometimes it's good just to say, hey, I'm going to go on the first Friday or Saturday of each month, and it's on my calendar, and it's clockwork. I know some people will say, oh, well, that's too organized. Well, tell you what, you got to put it on the calendar, or it doesn't get done. In my life, that's how I get things done. How about you? So,
yeah, absolutely. I was there this morning.
Good job. Good job. Well, I want to also mention that Our Lady said that souls are going to hell because no one is there to pray and make sacrifices. So here again, it's a Friday. This is a good day for a little sacrifice. You tell me what is going to be a sacrifice for you. Just do it and offer that to the Lord for the conversion of sinners. Now I'd like to bring the smartest guy into the room. You know who that is, everybody. Bring him in on that choo-choo train. Mr. Engineer, I guess the train is... Oh, there it is. Full sheen ahead, as we say here at Virgin Most Powerful. And I just want to remind everybody, it's been 1 year since Bishop Sheen's delay for his beatification. And on Monday, we're going to do a show. Our Sunday visitor, good friends over there, did a beautiful article. And I always like to support all the good papers. And that's one that's a good paper. They have a good article about what we should be doing to pray for that beatification. And actually, it's going to be, I think, a very interesting article that we can talk about on Monday. So keep that in mind. But here's what Bishop Sheen said. I tied it into the gospel about prayer. Here's what Bishop Sheen says. Remember, get the book Through the Year with Fulton Sheen. All these quotes are in there, hundreds of them. He says, and then pay attention to this, because this is profound. This is a man who, in my humble opinion, was such a blessing to Holy Mother, the Church, and a faithful son, as St. John Paul II said that back in 1979 when he hugged Bishop Sheen at a St. Patrick's Cathedral and said, you have written and spoken well of our Lord and Savior. You are a loyal son of the Church. And then hugged him. How would you like to have that, Ralph? Not bad, huh?
Yeah, tremendous, yeah.
Okay, here's what Bishop Sheen says on prayer. All we need to do is voice these two petitions. Dear Lord, illumine my intellect to see the truth and give me the strength to follow it. It is a prayer that is always answered. It makes no difference whether the desire for God we voice has come from our disgust, our despair, or whether it is born out of our love of the beautiful, the perfect. God is willing to take either of our old bones or our young dreams, for he loves us not because of the way we are, but because of what we can be through his grace. Now, Ralph, I don't know about you, but that just fit right in with me on saying, I want to do God's will. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ because I know
Amen.
He gives back. We give him our life in this short life and we get eternity. Sign me up. You know,
it's a good deal. It's a very good deal.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it. Well, Ralph, we're going to get right into your book. And I want to quote one of the great saints of our church, because I consider this, you writing this book is really supporting Saint Pope Felix III back in 475. He said this, not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. Now, why do I say that? Because, Ralph, I've seen you for 40-some years. I've followed you because I admire you and Renewal Ministries for all these years. You have taught me so much about my relationship with Christ. And now I see things like I've read books on prayer by you, the saints. And now you've got a book that you're redoing again called The Church in Crisis, Pathways Forward. And I love this cover because it has a picture of the Notre Dame Cathedral on fire. And I thought, oh boy, did you guys do that? Whoever did that, it really hit me right away. And I said,
yeah, I got to hold it up here.
Yeah, please do.
Let people see it.
Yes, yes. And so when we come back, we're going to talk to you about why you wrote the book and some of the things that you have done in that book in the sense of out of charity. And I mean, clarity and charity, challenging individuals who aren't being faithful to the gospel and saying, I'm sorry, but you know, this is a problem, Mr. You know, the German bishops. You address these issues, but the thing that I like most about it is that's my style. I don't like, you know, pointing fingers at people. I always point the fingers back at me, but I say, wait a minute, how does this reconcile with the perennial teachings of the church? Can you help me on that? In other words, you're doing it out of charity, not vindictiveness. And I think that's what we need more of in the church today when we're trying to help Holy Mother get back on track. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Ralph Martin is our guest, and he's with the Renewal Ministries. And I would just encourage you, if you go on YouTube, type his name. While I was sick this week, I probably saw 4 or 5 videos of his, and they were outstanding. So when we come back, you'll find out why you're going to learn so much about Jesus and his bride, the church, and how we can support having people fall deep in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Jesse will be back on Monday. I have my friend Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries. He's a director of graduate theology program and evangelization, close to my heart, and a professor of theology at the Sacred Heart Major Seminary in the Archdiocese of Detroit. Ralph, before I get into your book, our good friend who's been on the radio here with us many, many times, Janet Smith, she endorsed your book on the back of your book. She said, this book is a massive achievement. I agree. Ralph Martin is one of the most reliable analysis of the state of the church. He's brave, he's bold, he's outspoken, but never snarky or an alarmist. I love that part. Some of his chapters, such as Culpability, shed fresh light on some of the most deliberating confusions of our age. This book will be a go-to book for those who want a comprehensive view of the crisis in the church today. That's Janet Smith, author of Humanae Vitae and a good friend of the show here. She's done so many shows with us, helping us understand our moral teachings of the church. So, Ralph, first of all, what made you write this book called A Church in Crisis?
Well,
all right.
I was actually invited to give a talk at a conference at Georgetown University celebrating the 50th anniversary of Vatican II. Mm-hmm. And I was quite surprised what I found there. Pope Francis had only been pope for about, you know, a year or so, a year or two. But the atmosphere was like, happy days are here again. The spirit of Vatican II is back again. The keynote speaker was Cardinal Casper, who had a big influence on the synods of the family. And he really got that footnote in there that kind of opened the door to maybe people who are divorced and remarried but haven't received an annulment, receiving communion. And that's caused such incredible confusion in the church. And cardinals are fighting cardinals over it. Bishops' conferences are contradicting each other. And so I say, wow, this is interesting. And then also, some people who were like leading dissenters against Catholic truth were featured speakers. Father Charles Curran, who led the, you know, rejection of Humanae Vitae, and Father Roger Haidt, and Father Peter Phan, all of whom have been corrected by the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith. So it's sort of like they knew something was going on or was about to happen that I didn't know at the time, you know? And so then a couple of, I said, I don't have time to do this. I do a lot of international travel. But then COVID-19 came,
sure,
and all my travel was canceled. You know, I didn't have to go to Brazil, didn't have to go to Peru, didn't have to go to Ireland or, you know, anyone, a number of different places. And I finally felt like the Lord said, okay, go ahead, you know, go ahead and write it. 40 years ago, I wrote a book called A Crisis of Truth.
Yes.
The Attack on Faith, Morality, and Mission in the Catholic Church, which I think helped a lot of people to keep their heads straight during that time. But I thought that all that stuff had been handled by John Paul II and Benedict XVI. But when I went to that Georgetown conference, I said, it's back. It was hiding underground.
Yeah.
Now people feel free to bring it out again and spread it widely. So I think there's just a lot of people very troubled about what's going on, or about the confusing things they're seeing. And you know, the Pachamama idol kind of coming into the Vatican, and, you know, just so many other things. So I just felt like I needed to say, we have some real problems. We really do have some real problems. Let's not paper them over. Let's not say everything's going great. Let's take a look at it, because if we don't take a look at the very real problems we have, we're not going to come up with the solutions that the Lord might lead us to.
Well, Ralph, you're spot on. I've been around 40 years also, and I was scandalized by some of the things that I saw, but you know, as a layman, I was always kind of like just thinking, but I never really spoke out loud and said, what's going on? I mean, I'm with a local parish priest years ago who's being elevated as a local bishop here in Los Angeles, and I'm at the party and we're getting into the conversation about truth. And he says to me, what is truth? Like Pontius Pilate. And I said, oh, we're in trouble. Now, I didn't say anything, but I know that was ready, Mark. That was 30 years ago. So I see all these things. Three of my auxiliary bishops here in Los Angeles, two of them died of AIDS, unfortunately. The other one ran off.
Whoa.
You know, so I'm just saying, we've seen scandal here in Southern California, and I try to keep my eyes on Jesus Christ. And I've noticed that in your book, you've made that very good point that, you know, we don't have faith in prelates, priests. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Is that a valid recommendation?
Yes, but I am concerned today, Terry.
Tell me.
About people becoming so disillusioned by, quote, what they call the church, that they almost kind of are separating themselves from it.
And that's a bad thing.
Any different directions. They could be separating themselves and
left
or wash
right.
my hands of the whole thing.
Yep.
Or they could go into this really kind of hostile traditionalism that,
yes, I've seen
that
it.
Is just angry and suspicious. And
yes.
Is calling Pope Francis terrible names,
right.
And is almost like becoming Protestant by their judgment on everything.
Right.
So I am concerned about how people are responding. I'm concerned about the polarization. I know you're concerned about, from your early comments, I'm concerned about division in the church.
Yeah.
And we need to work for unity, but we can't have a faith unity. The unity has to be based on the truth of Christ, the revelation, what God has shown us about reality. So you know, chapter 2 in the book, it's called, Is There a Solid Place to Stand?
Yes.
Is there some place where we can really get our bearings?
I sure hope so.
Yeah. And I talk about the importance of recovering our confidence in sacred scripture.
Oh, that's the key. That's the key.
Yeah. It's the foundation of everything. And a lot of Catholics have got a very vague idea about scripture. Like, you know, it's kind of old tales and, you know, myths and fables, and the church has got to get with the modern times. And they don't really understand what the Catholic Church really teaches about how us ordinary Catholics should approach sacred scripture. So I quote something from the Constitution on Sacred Revelation from Vatican II, Section 11. Almost every time I give a talk, I quote it because it's so important.
It
says, everything asserted by the sacred authors should be considered to be asserted by the Holy Spirit, and to teach firmly, faithfully, and without error those truths which God wished to consign to the sacred writings for the sake of our salvation. It's our salvation that's at stake here. We need to pay attention to what's revealed to us in sacred scripture. That's how we can know how we can be saved. That's how we know who Jesus is. That's how we can know what his plan is for human life. So that's an important chapter. We just got to really recover our confidence in the sacred scripture as it comes to us in scripture and tradition and the catechism of the Catholic Church. You know, if people are confused today about what the church teaches, go to the catechism. You know, they're starting to nibble around the edges of the catechism now, but hopefully they're not going to take too big a bite of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. And, you know, just a quick note, Bishop Strickland does a show once a week using the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Because, you know, bishops are to teach, govern, and sanctify. And every week I'm honored by having him take the Ten Commandments, the Seven Sacraments. We're in what mortal sin is right now. We're talking about sin. And you know what, Ralph? These are basic things that maybe we've forgot the last so many years, it seems.
No, absolutely. And so,
I'm just blessed to have Bishop Strickland in our court doing that. Ralph, how can people get your book? I'm going to ask probably four times. How can they pick up your book? What's the email?
Yeah, well, they could go to renewalministries.net and order it there. They could go to Amazon.com. They could go to St. Paul Center in Steubenville, the publisher, Emmaus Road Publication.
Yes.
Probably any one of those things would work.
Okay.
If they want it signed, I could sign it if they get it from renewalministries.net.
And that's
Just in the email, say, have Ralph sign it, and I'd be happy
to sign it. I want to also remind everybody that Dr. Scott Hahn years ago did a series called Can You Trust the Bible? And he quotes all of that, but it was a 13-hour course at Steubenville we recorded, and I'm going to give that away to people. If they want it, they can get a download for free. I just want you to have that course, because what Ralph said about the inerrancy of Scripture, that this is critical, that have to be able to trust what is in the Bible, without that, we're lost. I mean, we've seen what that does over the hundreds of years where people decide to say, well, that's what the Bible says, but, you know, how do we know it's right? And I think you even used something that I think it was page 69 in your book. You talked about someone saying that, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, I agree that the Bible says that it's against homosexuality, but who's to say that's right? I'm saying, really? That actually happened? Ralph, in your book, you talk about that. So I want you to share that with us, because that just blew me away that someone could have that opinion.
Well, you know, these days, you know, if I'll give a talk and I'll talk about some of the more challenging things that Jesus says, it's not uncommon for somebody to come to me and say, well, my Jesus would never say that.
Oh, really?
You know, and yes, and that's kind of crazy, because what's happening is that people are creating a Jesus in their own image.
Yeah.
You know, they may not be creating little wooden statues to worship, but they're idolaters. They're kind of like making a Jesus to suit themselves, rather than ever so humbly, ever so carefully, ever so with reverence and fear of the Lord, say, speak, Lord, your servant listens, you know?
Sure.
And so we can't ever get the real Jesus if we separate him from his teaching. You know, Jesus says, you know, if you love me, do what I'm telling you to do. So we really need to know what Jesus says about the path to eternal life. We really need to know what he says about marriage and sexuality. You know, all these areas that the culture is attacking us so strongly on, there's so much silence now in the church. You know, so many priests and bishops are intimidated. They don't know what to do. They feel frightened. They know if they spoke clearly, there'd be demonstrations outside the chancery building, or people would get up at mass and leave or shout at them. And so they've been intimidated into silence, but it's only going to get worse if we remain silent. We've got to start telling people the truth.
It's the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. That's what the Bible says, brother. And I love that you're willing to do this. And Ralph, I really mean this, because you're going to be a marked man because of the things you're saying are very unpopular for our culture right now. And I thank you for your tenacity to do this and to write this book, because I'm going to encourage everyone to pick up Ralph Martin's book. Go to renewalministries.net so you can get a signed copy. Just make a note saying, can I get a signed copy from Ralph? And Ralph, you said you'd sign it, correct?
Okay. Yes, that's right.
All right. When we come back from the break, Ralph, I'd like to get more into your book on what benefits are people going to get out of reading this book, and how is it going to give them a stronger foundation in their faith and their belief in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. Folks, I want to just remind you that this is First Friday. If you just tuned in, please make sure you get to, if you can get to Mass, a Holy Hour, a visits to the Blessed Sacrament, your Rosary, Confession. This is a great day to exercise your Catholic faith. And if it's been a long time since you've been to confession, knock on the rectory door. Have your mask on if you're in California. Say, Father, can I go to confession? He'll hear it. So that's what I want to recommend today. Because if you don't ask, sometimes you don't get. And I just want to remind people, the book that we're talking about, you can Google this, A Church in Crisis, Pathways Forward by Ralph Martin. And renewalministries.net is the place I would recommend that you get it, because Ralph said he will definitely sign the book for you. When we come back, you had some comments about our good friend Bishop Joseph Strickland in the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. And I want to understand what, you know, because there's good guys out there, and I want to name some of them because I want to affirm bishops who are speaking out in truth and in charity. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries jumping in for Jess from Harold today. Are you enjoying this? I sure am. We'll be right back with more to inspire you to fall deeper in love with Jesus and His church.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries is joining us about talking about his book, A Church in Crisis. And Ralph, on page 109, you address a situation on the homosexual lifestyle, saying that forcing the population to agree that is perfectly normal expression of sexuality, and that we're, in other words, we're at odds with our culture. Can you share a little bit of what you describe on that?
Yeah, well, one of the main areas that our culture is attacking us on now is our whole beautiful God's plan for marriage and family life and sexuality and having babies. And a lot of people are confused because so many people are cohabiting, because so many people are fornicating. That's what it is. Because so many people are committing adultery, because so many people are now saying homosexual activity is just fine, you know, and if you say anything negative about it, you're a hater, you're a homophobe or whatever. And that's where we need to go back to scripture and the teaching of the church. I mean, you know, like St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't let anybody deceive you. The immoral will not enter the kingdom of God. The fornicator, the adulterer, the person who engages in homosexual activity, the thief, the robber, the drunkard, the carouser, you know, it just goes on to say that. And this is so clear. I mean, this is one of those really clear assertions that Vatican II says is inerrant. I mean, this is the inerrant word of God. And then you have Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says, I warn you as I warned you before. He goes through a very similar list. Those who do these things will not enter the kingdom of God. And then you have Ephesians chapter 5. Where Paul says, the impure person will not enter the kingdom of God. And because of this, the wrath of God is breaking out against humanity, you know. And then Romans chapter 1, where it talks about the root of this all is refusing to acknowledge God. You know, it says they knew God. God revealed himself to them in the creation. God revealed himself to us in the conscience. And they suppress the truth. They're without excuse. They denied the light that God was giving them, and they fell into deeper and deeper darkness. And then a very explicit description of confusion and sexuality, and men gave up intercourse with women and had intercourse with men, and women doing the same thing, and then more and more evils just unfolding. So it's so clear that God has given us this beautiful gift of sexuality, but it's so beautiful and so special that it can only be used within the sacred bond of holy marriage, of lifelong fidelity and openness to life. Now, people who fail, people who fall, can always receive the mercy of the Lord.
Amen.
But if we're not trying to obey the Lord in this area, we're doing ourselves a tremendous disservice. We're damaging ourselves. We're damaging other people we're involved in, and we're endangering our salvation.
Ralph, isn't it a fair statement to say that, you know, it's kind of like a fake mercy when you tell somebody to continue to live this lifestyle, but I don't want to offend you? And it seems like that's not charity. That's really not loving that person, because what you're telling that person is continue to be objectively in mortal sin. And if you feel like this is good, then you go ahead and do it. Who am I to judge you and say that this is wrong? And why would I want to, you know, make you feel uncomfortable and tell you the truth of the gospel? And I think, Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is something that's been going on not just the last several years. I see this as this false mercy that says, like Father Bill Casey used to say, the most merciless thing you can do is let someone wallow in their sin.
Yeah, that's really true, Jesse. Really true. And It's the tendency of our fallen human hearts not to want to have confrontation or unpleasant conversations.
Yeah.
But Jesus, because he loved us, had those conversations with us. What? You know, he said, unless you repent, you're going to die in your sins, you know, or, you know, you're on the way, the truth and the life. Unless you come to me, you won't be in the Father's house, you know, and, or all his parables about the separation of the good fish and the bad fish, the wheat and the weeds, and the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The door's going to close, Jesus is telling us. The door's going to close. And if you're with me, you're going to be in the Father's house. If you're not with me when the door closes, you're going to be outside, otherwise known as hell.
Ralph, please quote that scripture verse first falsely and then correctly. You know what I'm talking about, the narrow way to heaven.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
That is hilarious when you say that. You've been saying this for years, and I think it's, I want to quote you, but go ahead, you say it. It's great.
Yeah. Well, if I were to describe how many of our fellow Catholics look at the world today, I would describe it like this. Broad and wide is the way that leads to heaven. Almost everybody's going that way.
Universal salvation.
It narrow is the door. Yeah. Difficult the road that leads to hell. Hardly anybody's going that way. Now, Terry, you know what's wrong with
it. Just the opposite, brother.
Yes, man. It's just the opposite, which is crazy. Yeah. How did so many of our fellow Catholics come to believe something that's just the opposite of what Jesus tells us the situation is? Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, broad and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many are traveling that way. But narrow is the door that leads to life, difficult the road, and few there are who are finding it. Now, Jesus didn't say this because this is how it has to be. He didn't say this because he was happy about it. In fact, we know he was weeping over his own city because they were missing the chance that God was giving them through Jesus. So, my word to you today, anybody listening or watching, is don't miss the chance that God has given you. Don't miss the mercy, because if you miss the mercy, the only thing that's left is judgment and condemnation. The only one who can save us from just judgment and just condemnation is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you don't know him, if you haven't turned your life over to him, if you're not taking seriously his word, don't miss the hour of your visitation. Right now, God is visiting you with the chance to really believe in Jesus and really follow him. Yes.
Well, man, I'm just saying, right on, Ralph, right on. Ralph, the individuals that are listening and saying to themselves, well, what is this book going to, is it going to help me reach my son, my daughter, my relative that's away from the church? Because we know, Ralph, statistically right now, you know, I mean, we have six people leaving for every one person coming into the church. And I'm, what can you tell our listener who has a relative or friend that's not practicing today?
Yeah. Let me read you this email I just got from a priest
Good.
Who just finished reading the book, and he tells what he got out of it.
Good.
He says, I just wanted to let you know that I've been reading your new book, and wow, what a blessing it has been. Thank you. I cannot begin to tell you what clarity it has given me. Reading it is like looking at a clear snapshot of the church. And now that the problems have been named, I have so much more peace in my heart. It's like I now know what we're dealing with. Before, it was an amorphous cloud of confusion, but with your book, there's a new light. Praise God. Mm. What has become so much more clear to me is the present concerted effort by the enemy to hijack the church.
Amen.
And how he's using some of the very shepherds who are ordained to feed and care for the sheep to actually separate the sheep from truth himself. It's like that moment in The Lord of the Rings where Gandalf goes to Saruman only to discover that Saruman has aligned himself with the enemy and is actually working against all that is good. Tolkien was very prophetic, and it's actually inspired me to preach more clearly. In fact, I've already preached three times now on universalism, which is what we were just talking about,
that
everybody's going to heaven, and how incongruous it is to sacred scripture, the magisterium, and even the mystical tradition of the church. In short, it really struck me that the human mind and heart are made for truth. And when we don't preach the fullness of truth, we starve the people of meeting truth himself and making a real decision for him. Anyway, I can't thank you enough. The Lord has restored my peace of heart and given me new fervor and desire to fight for his church and his people. Also, I watched your first Advent video and forwarded it to many. I have to say that I really believe that this Advent, the Lord is offering many gifts to those who have an open heart and truly desire him. In the midst of all the chaos and confusion of the world and the church, he is standing as an oasis in the desert, offering an outpouring of grace for all those willing to turn to him and repent. I, for one, hope to receive those graces and grow closer to him this Advent. Please know that I offered Mass for you, Renewal Ministries, and all of your employees yesterday in gratitude. So,
wow.
It's just so, yeah. I mean, this is a priest, and he's actually
awesome.
In a position of responsibility. He was confused. He had lost his peace. He didn't know what to make of all the strange stuff going on in the church, and the book helped him get clarity, and he recommitted himself to speaking clearly and helping people. I think that will help anybody, lay people or priests. Once we get our head clear,
yep.
Once we know who the enemy is, once we know what the lies are, once we know what the truth is, we're in so much better position to know how to help people.
Wow, folks, get Ralph's book, A Church in Crisis, from our renewalministries.net so that you can get Ralph to sign it for you. But because what that endorsement just said to me, that everyone listening should have a copy, because that is going to build your faith in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. One more thing, Ralph, we do here. Here at the Virgin Most Powerful, the chapel behind me, we have every Thursday night from 7 p.m. to 9 o'clock, we pray for priests. And it's our Opus Angelorum, the work of the Holy Angels. Spirituality is Holy Thursday was when the institution took place on the Eucharist, you know, the priesthood. So for 2 hours every week, we get down and we pray specific prayers for our Holy Father, for the bishops and the priests. And this is our response to praying for the church, because I'm going to tell you, I'm convinced the graces sometimes aren't there for our leaders in our church to do the right thing. And I believe that we as lay people can offer up sacrifices and prayers, and that can make this thing happen, where bishops and priests become on fire and they stand up for the truths of the gospel in spite of the culture. Am I on to something, Ralph?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No. It's so easy to get frustrating and do blanket condemnations,
right,
and blanket judgments, and all priests aren't this and all bishops aren't that.
Yep.
There's so many wonderfully good bishops and priests that need our support. They know what the truth is. They're afraid. They're a little shaky, but our prayers can make the difference for them. I wanted to say something, Jesse. During the break, I heard your ad about the Amazon commission that you guys get, you know. So if people want to get the book through Amazon,
yes,
and money comes to Virgin Most Powerful Radio,
well, thank you,
do
Ralph.
That.
You're awesome. Yeah. You know, this is a mutual appreciation society here on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. When we come back, I'm going to ask some more questions about Ralph Martin's new book, A Church in Crisis. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. I always like to say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be a billionaire. I'm here with Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries. And I've always enjoyed interviewing him because he always helps me deepen my faith in Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And I love seeing that. Ralph, I want to just remind everybody, the YouTube listeners, we get thousands of YouTube listeners every week, brand new. So I want to welcome you. I understand from my engineer, they're having some issues right now with YouTube. You can always get our free app, the Virgin Most Powerful Radio app. Go to our website, virginmostpowerfulradio.org. And actually, our shows are uploaded on our website minutes after our shows now. So we're really quick on that. And if you're having issues with YouTube, you can always get it from our website or our free app and all of our shows. As a matter of fact, I just saw my faithful bride going into the studio next to me for the Bible with the Barbers. And I noticed she's got my grandson. So I'm going to be babysitting while my wife does the Bible with the Barbers show, because I need to babysit. So I'm up front with everybody. I love it, actually. It gives me an opportunity to be with my grandson. But Ralph, we're talking about your book, A Church in Crisis. And I want people to go to your website, renewalministries.net, to pick it up. And I also want to ask you talked about in your book, you know, the issues of Scripture on the inerrancy. For those who didn't listen to the whole show, you can go back and go to the podcast and listen to this, because that was a very important element of the crisis in the church, and that is a crisis of understanding that the Bible is giving us is not without error. In other words, there's no error in Scripture. But Ralph, what about the issues that you talk about with the German bishops, like bishops' conferences? We hear these stories on the news about them changing things and saying that we're going to start doing this, ordaining women, and we know that you can't do that. But how is it that, what can you tell us to help us deal with these crazy things that are going on in other bishops' conferences around the world?
Yeah, well, I think some sickness that has been underneath the surface now feels free to come out and really boldly proclaim that they want to change the teaching of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And so what we have is the German Bishops' Conference saying, look, we're losing our contact with the culture. You know, people are no longer respecting the church. So what we need to do is become more like the culture.
Yeah.
We need to really downplay our teaching on marriage and sexuality. We need to downplay our focus on the uniqueness of Christ and be more interreligious dialogue and, you know, affirming people, you know, not challenging people. So this is kind of really serious, because they specifically are talking about moving to sort of honor homosexual relationships,
yeah,
to take advantage of that loophole that may be in papal documents now about divorced and remarried people without an annulment being able to receive the sacrament. So it's sort of like a whole kind of, we're embarrassed about our teaching. We don't think it's realistic. We need to change it. On the other side of the German border in Poland and Ukraine,
right,
those bishops are saying, wait a second, the direction you're heading in isn't Catholic. It isn't the church. It isn't what Christ has told us. It isn't what the apostles have taught us. You're departing from the faith, and you're weakening the faith of people in Poland. You're weakening the faith of people in Ukraine who are trying to live chaste lives. They're hearing what you're saying. They're saying, hey, maybe I don't have to struggle to live a chaste life. You know, maybe, you know, it's okay type of thing. So it's a very serious problem. But then you have it expressed in so many different ways, like Cardinal Zen from Hong Kong just called Cardinal Parolin a liar because of what the deal that the Vatican's doing with China.
Yeah.
You have Bishop Sarando, who's head of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, coming back from the People's Republic of China, saying that the Chinese communists are implementing Catholic social teaching better than anywhere in the world.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, what strange world are some of these people in Rome living in, you know, type of thing. They've really been captured by the spirit of the world. You know, if I were to describe, if I were Satan, what would I most want people to believe? Chill. Don't worry about it. You know, just go along, you know, broad and wide is the way that leads to happiness and heaven. Just go along with the culture. I think it's a demonic lie that's infiltrated its way into the church and has affected so many people. And we need a profound deliverance. We need a profound repentance. And we need to ask the Lord, because I don't think there's a human solution. You know, we need to pray and fast. We need to ask God to have mercy. But right now, there's really a division amongst leadership in the church. There's division amongst the American bishops. There's division amongst the Canadian bishops. Mm-hmm. And people are afraid of that becoming open, because what are you going to do? Are you going to split in two and have two separate churches, you know, one that follows faithfully the teaching and one that accommodates to the culture? So we got to try to find a way of sorting this out. But it's very, very difficult, and we're in a very, very difficult time right now.
We are.
You know, the first six chapters of the book talk about the problems, but the last seven chapters talk about how can we move forward? What are the pathways forward? You know, the first chapter talks about we need to stop pretending that everything's okay. We need to be honest about situation. You know, every year new statistics come out about fewer and fewer Catholics believe fewer and fewer things that the church teaches, and fewer people are going to church, and we're closing more and more parishes, we're closing more and more schools. And those aren't just numbers, those are souls.
Amen. You know? Amen.
Those are souls, you know, and there's just sort of this lethargy, this kind of presiding over decline amongst a lot of our leadership. Official optimism, everything's really okay. We're a vibrant church. Well, maybe in some areas we are, but in lots of areas we're a dying church, you know, and people know it, people feel it, people see it. And unless we get real, we're not going to be able to turn to God as a people and beg him for mercy.
Wow.
And another chapter is repentance,
yes,
and very specifically things we need to repent for. And
yes,
another chapter is on a time for action. Us lay people have a responsibility. Vatican II says us lay people should make our views known. We should encourage people who are preaching the gospel to go on preaching it even more boldly. And we should respectfully inquire from priests or bishops who aren't preaching the gospel according to the Catholic faith, whether we're understanding them correctly, whether they know what people are taking from their preaching, whether people are getting the message that this is okay and it's not. And if the priest blows us off, or you know, go to the bishop. The bishop isn't going to be happy to hear from us, but we need to do what we can. Us lay people need to speak out in a respectful way. We need to understand that we might not be understanding everything correctly. There might be another side to the story. But nevertheless, there is a lot of junk being spoken. But besides a lot of junk being spoken, there's a lot of stuff being left out.
Amen.
And that's even a bigger problem.
You got it.
You know, even sometimes in the official readings, we have these little brackets, you know, where you
yes,
can leave out parts of the readings. Sometimes they leave out the punchline of the parable that where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. They don't want to disturb people by bringing that in. They're editing the word of God.
Oh, that's horrible. Horrible.
And the book of Revelation, the last chapter says, woe to those who add anything to this revelation or take anything away from it. People are adding to it and taking things away from it every day. Lord, have mercy on us. Help us.
Amen. Ralph, I want to also encourage people to go to YouTube. Your Advent reflection was powerful. Can you tell our listeners how they can, whether it's your website, but you do a lot on YouTube with videos, and you know, can you take a minute just to tell people how they can watch those?
Yeah, I'm doing a 4-week live Advent talk every Sunday evening at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, be 5 o'clock California, mm-hmm. And you can just go to our website and register for it. It's free, mm-hmm. But we need to be able to send you a link. So we only had a 5,000 person capacity, and we're getting close to that.
Good.
But,
good.
Yeah. So go to our website, renewalministries.net. I think there'll be a pop-up right there on the homepage where you can register for the Advent. So the second week is coming this Sunday night. And we do post it the next day on YouTube. So you can go to Renewal Ministries YouTube channel or just put it in Ralph Martin YouTube. But the live thing is really cool because people can comment. People can do the chat. People can ask questions. After my talk, I answer questions so people can submit
awesome.
Questions. So it's a dynamic kind of thing. So, yeah, thanks, Terry. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
no.
Really,
I want people to know about the resources you have. And not only you, can you talk about some of the other lay people and sisters that are on your staff? Because I want people to know more about what you're doing, Ralph.
Yeah. Well, Peter Herbeck is a wonderful
awesome.
Guy that I work with. He has a daily radio program mm-hmm. called Fire on the Earth.
Yep.
Our director of missions, we do mission work all over the world.
Yep.
Sister Ann Shields is with us. She does her daily radio program. Yep. We have some young people now reaching out to young adults and high school boys and girls. And so, again, you go to our website. You can sign up for our free monthly newsletter if you like, and you get a big picture of everything we're doing.
Awesome.
But I want to tell you, Terry, thank you for all these 40-plus years preaching the gospel, when it's convenient and inconvenient, all the things you've done with St. Joseph's Communication. I mean, you've gotten so much word of God out to so many people all these years. I just want to thank you. And it's just exciting to see you and Jesse continuing on today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I just think of what Fulton Sheen said. If souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. And that's how I see you and your Renewal Ministries, that you're one soul at a time. You're reaching out to people, Ralph. And I just want to recommend, again, to pick up Ralph's book, A Church in Crisis, by Ralph Martin, and you go to renewalministries.net. You can pick that up. And I thank you again for the little tip about if you go to Amazon, you have an Amazon account. Yes, if you go through us, we do get a little commission back to Virgin Most Powerful. And I thank you. I've never had anybody say that. So that was very magnanimous of you of doing that. Ralph, final thought. We just have another minute left. I want to ask again, for our listeners, what advice would you give them right now spiritually? As you know, maybe give them an action item list of things to do that would help build them up in their faith.
You gotta pray every day. You gotta take some time to be still and know that He's God. The psalm says, "Be still and know that He's God." You know, cut down on watching news that makes you anxious and afraid. Yes, you need to know that bad stuff is happening, but not so much that you become obsessed with it or controlled by it. You need to be with the Lord. The best time to do it is first thing in the morning for most people. Just first thing in the morning before you do anything else, just go somewhere in your house and just kneel down like the children of Fatima did and say, I believe in you, I adore you, I hope in you, and I love you. And I pray for those who don't believe in you, don't adore you, don't hope in you, don't love you, and have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, just
wow.
Be with the Lord.
Awesome. Ralph Martin from Renewal Ministries, thank you for joining us here on the Terry and Jesse Show. May God richly bless you. Up next, the Bible with the Barbers, but you're only going to have my wife, and she's going to be talking about our Blessed Mother and Advent. Wow. Remember, folks, my wife's got a master's in biblical studies from John Paul II, and I'll tell you, she's got my attention. She'll have yours, so you'll want to join us. If you can't listen to it on your radio station, go to our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Download our app, or you can hear it on our website. I just want to thank you, Ralph Martin, and Renewal Ministries for what you're doing to help spread the good news of Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. God love you, Ralph.
Thank you, Terry.
You bet. Wow, thanks again, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that show. You can watch it again, listen to it, and pass it on to your friends. God love you.